If you're like me and were born between 1981 and 1996, then that means you're a millennial. And if you're a millennial, it is time to add Clarins Multi-Active Cream to your daily routine. I talked about this before, but stress aging is a thing, you guys. And that's honestly a little terrifying, especially if you're a parent out there like me who definitely isn't getting 8 hours of sleep a night and who feels stressed out just trying to get out the door with 3 kids. But the good news is Europe's number one skincare line has a solution you can trust so you can keep your skin looking and feeling stress-free. The Clarins Multi-Active Cream is really good, you guys. It uses a skin charger complex made with 2% niacinamide and sea holly bioextract, which sounds fancy, and it's clinically proven to target the first visible signs of aging by smoothing lines and wrinkles and refining pores. It also strengthens the skin's moisture barrier so it feels light and hydrating. While their multi-active cream can't bring back your sanity from chasing toddlers around the house, it can de-stress your skin. I've been using the multi-active cream for a month now, and I definitely see a difference in my fine lines. I also like that it's hydrating since it's still pretty dry here in Nashville. Go to clarins.com/eastfam and get multi-active day and night cream for 10% off, a free welcome gift, plus free shipping on your first order. That's clarins.com/eastfam with promo code EASTFAM. clarins.com/eastfam with promo code EASTFAM. Let's get back to it.
I didn't know sitting next to you, Andrew, gave you anxiety. But
can we practice that real quick? Let's just go ahead and do it.
Yeah. Absolutely not. No.
Let me just try to see if it's even
possible. I don't like you that much yet.
Are you reading the same thing?
No, you always ad lib. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Couple Things
with Sean and Andrew,
a podcast all about couples and the things they go through.
We are excited for today's episode. We've been getting a lot of requests for people to clarify what it is when we ask the other couples we interview what their love language is. So today we're going to be talking about love languages, what ours are, and why we think they're important. But before we get into it, if you guys wouldn't mind rating the show and subscribing to it on whatever platform you're listening, that really helps us out, and we love hearing your feedback as well. So the idea for this video came from a lot of you in the comments, and also Megan, who submitted a video wanting to learn more about love languages. So let's hear from her.
Hey, East fam, my name is Megan. I was hoping that you guys would do a podcast on love languages. My boyfriend and I have been together for 3 years now, and we have very different love languages, but I was curious to hear your opinions on how these different communication styles can affect your relationship.
Thank you, Megan. Are you ready to jump into this?
Let's do it. And disclaimer, guys, this is going to be a good episode for Andrew and I because I am really spicy today.
And by spicy, she means angry. So
I'm just full of sass.
Sometimes I feel like that's your love language, babe.
It is.
Anger.
I am a mom that has a lot going on, and today is one of those days.
You, to your credit, do have a lot going on.
I do.
And you know whose fault that is? Sometimes that's my fault.
Yeah.
So
like today.
I love you.
You scheduled a few extra meetings that have made today real busy.
But we're here now holding hands. Yes. And you still love me, I think.
No, I do want to talk about that though, because with love languages, I think it's a great topic for our situation because it's in situations like this, if you truly don't know each other's love language, which I took the test and I actually am not the love language that I thought.
Neither am I.
If you don't know it, and you don't know how to help out your spouse, it just makes all the situations worse.
It amplifies the problem, you could say.
Yes.
Before we jump into what our love languages are, though,
yeah,
I want to talk about why we think it's an important question to ask other couples.
What their love languages?
Yeah.
I think it's important. I mean, one, I'm always curious to hear what different people's love languages are, but I also think it's like a test and interesting way to see how well they know each other's love language. Yeah. And if they don't, you know, people, it's not like your relationship is bad if you don't know.
Yeah.
But it's just a challenge because you're technically asking your significant other, how best can I love you? Do mm-hmm. I know that answer? And if you don't, you should.
I think it's a really unique thing to reveal about someone. So that's why I like, you know, a lot of these people are personalities that people see on TV or online, wherever. But asking someone what their love language is like a very unique thing to be revealed. And I feel like it's, I feel like it's kind of intimate, you could say, you know? So I like that question for that reason. But I will say in general,
you know, what's funny. Sorry to interrupt. You say two words. So funny. Intimate? And like interesting.
How do
it catches me off guard every time. Intimate.
Intimate.
Yeah. You get rid of the T. I don't know. No. Intimate. Intimate.
It's a,
and then the word M I R A C L E.
What? M I M miracle.
You say a miracle.
Miracle. A miracle.
It's a true miracle. I'm like, what are you saying?
Apparently I say pistachio. Pistachio funny too. Hold on. How do you say it? And I'm all messed up. Shoot. Now you're in my head.
Pistachio.
Look, now you're smiling, babe. This is the first time I see those pearly whites.
I know.
I will say in general, I'm pretty skeptical when it comes to these like tests.
Zodiacs, that generally Enneagrams. Classify. Yeah, you're against all of them.
I am. And that includes, just like you said, Enneagram.
Explain to people why you're against them though.
Can I just say one feedback that we get a lot is us talking over each other. So that's already happened a couple of times here. Just for future reference. I'll stop now. Anyway, the Enneagram is included in that. The Zodiac is included in that. I would say the love language is an example of one of these tests that kind of just puts people in these broad buckets of classifications. And I'm not a fan of that because, as cheesy as it may sound, I just don't think that you can dilute a person down to like X amount of qualities, like the Enneagram. Oh, you're an eight. Sweet. So that means X, Y, and Z about you. Well, that's not necessarily true. Or my love language, which we'll reveal here shortly. It's not just that, you know, I just think that the value these tests provide are, one, a framework that you can talk about personalities talk about personalities with, or a way to kind of think about a problem. So, hey, how do you express love? Well, here's five different ways to do it, and your tendency is this one specifically. Does that make sense? So I don't think it's like the gospel of here's the one way to do it and here's the one way I can speak to your heart.
No. However, I think Zodiacs, Enneagrams, love languages can tell you a lot about yourself, about tendencies. If you tend to be more like an eight or a gift giver or a Capricorn, then there is enough information out there that can help kind of guide you to be a better person in those tendencies. I do think some people read it as the gospel, but I do think it teaches you, like it can teach you a lot about yourself.
I think that's true.
All right. So our two oldest kids have been loving science experiments. We post about it all the time on Instagram. And lately we've been trying to find better ways to keep and continue their curiosity going.
Yes. And so I found KiwiCo with Drew when she was an infant, but have since graduated Drew and Jet, our two oldest, to like their science boxes, which helps them with like engineering, robotics, technology, and they love getting their hands dirty and in it. And the things that KiwiCo comes up with is amazing. So each month, if you subscribe or get a membership, you get a new box in the mail for your kid to open, and it's filled with goodies. I remember this as an infant, and it was amazing.
Awesome.
But now as a toddler, it's even cooler. They get to discover and build and create things with their science boxes that are amazing.
The activities are nonstop. You get to do things like engineering, robots. There's learning about science of ice cream. That was one of our kids' favorite. But they always do age-appropriate things as well, which is really cool and important. It allows the teaching and learning process to go really smoothly.
Yes. My favorite thing about KiwiCo is that their boxes are age-appropriate. So as your kid gets older, the boxes develop with them. And it also kind of tells you where they should be developmentally. I remember as a parent, it's when I started KiwiCo as a kid, like as an infant, I loved that it gave parents tips to kind of encourage the educational process for your kid. It can be hard to find creative ways to keep your child engaged, challenged, and off their screens, but KiwiCo does the work for you so you can spend quality time tackling projects together.
That's right. So redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo.
Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at KiwiCo.com with promo code COUPLE.
That's 50% off your first month at KIWICO.com, promo code COUPLE.
Here's why we think love languages are cool. Because one, it helps you get one step closer to showing appreciation and love for your significant other, which is really important. But then it also reveals a source of possible frustration. So if you're like really not feeling loved, by revealing what your, by learning what your love language is, I can better understand why you might feel frustrated like that and have a potential solution. So,
well, and I also think something that we learned with love languages is, I think by default, whatever your love language is how you try to love your significant other. That's what we like fall back into the rhythm of doing. However, your significant other's love language could be completely different or opposite from yours. And mm-hmm. if you don't actively try and remember, I have to show him love in a different way that I want to receive, I could be loving you like as much as I'm capable of, but if it's not in your language, you aren't going to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
So you could still feel unloved, even though I'm trying so hard.
How frustrating would that be, by the way? I feel like that happens a lot too.
I feel like it happens a lot with us. We even go through like phases where we get frustrated and distant from each other because we feel unloved, even though we're trying really hard.
That's what I was about to say.
But we get into points where we will have these conversations and we're like, I feel unloved right now.
Yeah.
And you or I will be like, what are you talking about? I've been doing all this stuff. And it's like, well, if that's not how you receive love, it doesn't feel like you're being shown that someone loves you.
Do you feel loved at this point in your life?
I do.
You do?
I'm just mad today.
I gotcha. I'm sorry.
I don't want to hold your hand.
Okay.
I'm kidding. That's I'm fine. Kidding. I would love to hold your hand. Anyways.
That was a funny joke.
Thanks. Before you took the test,
yeah,
what did you think your love language was?
So, brief overview. There are five different love languages. And just like Sean alluded to, the language that you receive and how you feel loved can be different than the language that you need to give to your partner. Does that make sense? So the five love languages are acts of service.
Yes.
Words of affirmation.
Quality time.
Quality time. Physical touch. And
gifts.
Yes. So of those going into the test, which I'd never taken before, and you guys should know.
Receiving gifts. Yeah.
Good point. The link for this test is in the description down below. We have a bunch of links down there for you guys in every episode. Mm-hmm. So always make sure you check that.
It is a really short quiz. So you should try. I mean, it's easy.
It's 30 questions and it's not like super philosophical or deep. You're just going to rip through it. But I thought that my love language, how I received loved, would have been quality time and physical touch.
And I would have said the same. Really? That's you didn't think it was going to be words of affirmation for you?
No.
I thought you were going to be words of affirmation. I don't know what yours is from your test. I thought I was going to be quality time and physical touch.
And you weren't that. That's what you're trying to say, huh?
Yeah. What would you have guessed for me?
I thought you were going to be quality time and words of affirmation.
Really?
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah.
We don't know each other at all.
This is what I tried to... Well, this is what I try to do because some of the questions...
No wonder I'm mad today. You don't know me at all, Andrew.
I tried to really put myself in the situation. The questions were kind of cheesy, I felt like.
They are.
Oh, I know exactly which category this is applying to. Yeah. But as I thought about like, oh, it's more meaningful to me. That's how all the questions were kind of phrased. I was like trying to picture myself on Christmas morning or... in scenarios where you left me a note or when you came home and gave me a hug, like actually trying to put myself in the situation and wow, did that spark joy to reference Marie Kondo?
I also think your love languages can change based on the phases of life you're in.
Yeah.
Because I kept reading a lot of these questions and thinking like I'm a mom now and there is so much stuff to get done. oh, if I came home and all the bottles were cleaned, I would feel so loved. Like, and that's different than before a kid where we had nothing to do in life.
Doesn't seem like we had anything
to nothing. Do like, what did we do before a kid? What did we do with time? Anyways, so without further ado, are you ready?
I'm ready.
I have a feeling we are the same.
Okay, this will be interesting.
Ready? On the count of three.
No, name your first one.
Okay. Acts of Service is mine.
Acts of Service. I was it. 9.
I was 8.
Really?
Yeah.
My second one was receiving gifts. I was an 8.
What? You.
I know.
Mr. Don't ever buy me a gift.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Good. What was interesting.
I know. This is good self-discovery for you and me.
It is.
Happening mine, live.
Mine was quality time.
Really? Mm-hmm. That one's the worst, if you ask me. I'm kidding. That was not a funny joke.
That is not a funny joke.
No, I heard someone say that joke and I repeated it and I regretted it immediately.
You should. But
the joke was, that's the one that takes the most time and effort.
Yes.
So that's why it's, you know, the worst one. But that joke dies here today.
Yeah. That is not how you...
I saw that. I figured quality time would be your second one. What would you say? What was your third one?
My third one was physical touch.
Really? Mine was quality time. I got a 5.
Really?
Yeah.
I had a 6.
For your third one. Oh, yeah. So you were a little bunched together.
I was 8, 7, 6, 5, 4.
Mine was 9, 8, 5, 4, 4.
Wow. And then I had words of affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
And
physical touch was my 4th.
And then I had receiving gifts.
That's surprising to me. Well...
You guys, I was so nervous about having thin, broken hair after having Bear, but no joke, I feel like my hair is at its healthiest point ever.
I agree.
Thanks. Thanks to Vegamore, sticking to my hair routine has never been easier, even in the postpartum days. Vegamore products are 100% cruelty-free and are never formulated with harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones, which is really important to us. I've made it a part of my daily routine for the past 6 months, and I am so happy with the way my hair looks and feels. I've actually had people ask me if I've gotten my hair done recently, and it's funny because I haven't.
Mm.
Yeah. I started using the Grow Hair Serum immediately after Bear, and my hair has never felt thicker and softer. I also like how it's not oily or greasy, so you can use it on wet or dry hair. I signed up for the monthly subscription of the Grow Hair Serum, and it's nice because you get to save money on your order and you never run out of the product. Fun fact, Vegamore sells one bottle of Grow Hair Serum every 15 seconds on their website. That's how good this stuff really is. Elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. For a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/eastfam and use code eastfam at checkout. That's vegamore.com/eastfam, code eastfam, to save 20% off your first order. vegamore.com/eastfam, code Eastfam. Let's get back to it.
Huh.
Yes, and I thought receiving gifts was gonna be higher because I love being surprised by little gifts. I remember when we were dating, something that meant so much to me, and it was so little. I was living in my apartment. You're finishing your master's degree, and every night the only time we had to hang out was after like 8 or 9 o'clock at night. You would come over for a few hours. And every night you would bring over a bag of my favorite apples. Like, you would stop by the grocery store and pick up like 2 or 3 apples. And it was the sweetest thing. Or you would always come with flowers. And I loved, like, it made me feel so special.
It's funny because from my perspective, I would bring these apples all the time because you said they were your favorite. You loved them. You said, like, when you come home from traveling, you just love to have something healthy like an apple. Mm-hmm. So I got you these apples, but you never ate them.
Yes,
so
I
then
did.
I was like, well,
I did have a roommate. Like, I think them. You were seeing her apples because I ate Honeycrisp apples literally every day.
Okay. This is really, I'm glad we're having this conversation.
You know what is interesting though? I think one of the reasons why receiving gifts is my lowest, I like receiving gifts. I'm just a bad gift receiver, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but anytime people get me a gift, I get like uncomfortable. Like, I don't know how to express my gratitude. I love giving gifts. Oh my gosh, I love giving gifts.
I think you're one of the best gift givers I've ever been around.
Thank you.
You're so thoughtful.
I love like the wrapping process, and I want to make it personal and like this whole experience. I love that.
But you know what's funny? I feel like what holds you back from giving more gifts is you're a perfectionist about it.
Yeah.
If you can't have,
and it's not perfect, I don't want to give it
the exact wrapping paper that you want with the bow that fits it perfectly.
If I can't wrap a gift, I'm not giving it to you.
I think that's something you could maybe work on because you have a lot of good gifts to give
the
world.
Is this what this podcast is about? You're going to tell me what I need to work on?
Give me more gifts.
Really? But yes, acts of service was my number one. And I really never thought that was one of my love languages. I think that's changed since having Drew, just because every day I can feel so overwhelmed with like, I need to do this and that and this and that, and I need to be here on this time. And there can just be so much to do in a day. And it gets to be so easy for both of us to look at each other and be like, why didn't you do this? Mm-hmm. Why couldn't you have helped me? So coming home and seeing bottles washed or laundry done or whatever makes me feel very loved, because it makes me feel like I've been seen.
Mm-hmm. Funny thing about Sean, when she gets really frustrated and mad, I think at me or maybe not at me, she goes into like ultra cleaning mode. Clean. So you know, we might have had a pile of laundry sitting out for 2 weeks, but when she gets this certain type of mad, she'll like all of a sudden start cleaning everything up. She'll get super frustrated that, why do we have laundry sitting out? I'm like, it's been there for 2 weeks. What are we doing?
You start scrubbing the counters. Yes. Yeah. I also, that is something that I learned growing up though. My mom is just the most amazing, like organized, alphabetizes stuff. The house is clean 100% of the time. And I think I got it from her, where she can't feel relaxed unless things are clean and put in place. So like, if I don't have a super crazy life at like in a phase and things seem organized in my life, I can come home to clutter and feel fine. Mm-hmm. But as soon as my life starts feeling like chaos, if I don't have my house put together and cleaned, then I just feel like I'm going to jump off the edge.
I want to do an interview with your parents.
So it's probably not good for me to say.
Did you say jumping off of something?
I did.
Okay. Yeah. We can maybe remove that.
Yeah, maybe.
Episode. But I want to interview your parents because I think the context of what you were used to growing up and what your parents did for you has a lot to do with how you feel love and how you express love.
Yeah.
So I think that'd be a fun episode, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
We just have to convince them to do it.
Yeah, I know. That's gonna be some work.
You know, a love language that I think is interesting. Where was words of affirmation for you again?
Last.
Which is crazy. You're a man. All you want is affirmed.
But I think it's really interesting. It almost seems like I feel as if men have like this, oh, he wasn't told that he was loved enough, and he wasn't told that someone was proud of him enough.
That just made me really sad.
Oh, I don't feel that, but I feel like a lot of people do. I think in our situation, I love you. In our situation, we almost say I love you too much. Is that weird to say? You do. You think I do?
Yes.
So much so that it dilutes the punch of it, you know?
Do you know something you do?
Huh?
You never say the words, I'm sorry. You replace it with, I love you. You'll do something and I'll get mad or whatever, and you're always like, I love you. I'm like, just say I'm sorry, okay?
You say I'm sorry about 7,000 times.
I
know.
I say I'm sorry too much. You say I love you too much. I mean, that sounds terrible that I'm saying that. It's amazing. But yes, anything can be diluted. I'm sorry can be diluted because I say it so much.
Yeah.
So that when I am actually apologetic and sincere, you don't believe me.
What a conundrum that is. How do we get out of that hole?
How about I say I love you more and you say I'm sorry more?
It's interesting. I'm sitting here thinking, I feel like I say I'm sorry all the time. But one of my friends said this, and I think it's really good advice. If your significant other gives you feedback, it's really important to actually take that to heart and listen to it, because they spend more time with you than anybody else. And they probably have a better perspective on things, on some things, than you do of yourself. So
you're saying I'm right.
So you're saying I probably don't say I'm sorry enough. And I'll have to think about that and really do some introspection.
Actually, to see if I'm right or not.
If you know me, you know I love cereal. Our whole family does. And growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid. But now that I'm older, I know it's important to watch out for empty carbs and extra sugar. So I took a little break there from eating so much cereal. But now I've tried Magic Spoon. And Magic Spoon has classic flavors and the crunch you love, but it has way less sugar and it's high in protein.
We love Magic Spoon in the East household. I always get the variety pack. It has four flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs with only 140 calories per serving. It's high protein, has 0 grams of sugar. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free.
It's pretty wild to think a cereal can be high in protein and low carb and still taste delicious, but it does. I love eating a bowl of the fruity flavor after a workout for some extra protein, and Sean here loves the cocoa flavor as a snack before bed. We think everyone should try Magic Spoon and taste the difference themselves. Go to magicspoon.com/eastfam to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code EASTFAM at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, start the new year off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/eastfam. And use our code EASTFAM to save $5 off.
Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
No. No.
No, I will say this. And again, every couple has their things and you notice certain things about each other. You say, I'm sorry. And you come across very apologetic. You see me, you hear me, you listen to what I like need to say. And you're very sincere. But it's just funny how like you can get hooked onto things. And it goes back to the languages. Sometimes we have to hear specific things. We need certain words. We need body language. We need, you know, everyone needs different things, but you always say, I love you. And it's, you are saying, I'm sorry. So it's beautiful. And I shouldn't be complaining because you look me in the eye and you're like, babe, I love you. Like, I apologize. But it's weird how in receiving it, I feel like in my girl way of thinking, because girls are crazy, I'm like, oh, he's not accepting that he did something, you know, wrong. So he's avoiding saying I'm sorry. So he's just going to say I love you, which is wrong.
Don't say girls are crazy.
But it's I know it's a flaw by me, but it's weird. We all have those things. But I think in addressing those things with your significant other, you can make it, it might sound crazy to you to be like, you actually need to hear the words I'm and sorry. Like that can sound crazy, but if you acknowledge those and like try to voice those to your significant other, it can make your relationship a lot better.
There are some questions on here that we thought were,
yeah.
You ready to walk through those?
Yes. I don't have them pulled up.
You don't? Well, let me pull them up, babe. Cause I got them right here. So one of there's 30 questions. We picked out five that yes. we thought were of interest. And one of them was, it's more meaningful to me when I spend alone time with my partner, just the two of us, or my partner does something practical for me to help out.
I thought this one was interesting because I'm clingy and I love just being in the same room with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like we don't have to be doing anything at all. We don't have to be talking. I just want to be near you. And you're the complete opposite.
It's stressing me out when we're just when we're just there not doing anything.
We'll be sitting in the same room like on computers. He's like, what? I gotta go to my office. I need to get away.
No, I think I'm more of an introvert than you are. I think you're more shy than I am, but I think I'm more of an introvert. So I like to have
you recharge with your alone time.
Yes.
I think that's interesting.
Yeah. Do you agree with me or no?
That you're more of an introvert?
Yeah. We're around people all the time.
You're such a people person though.
I love talking to strangers and getting to know people.
But you recharge when you're alone.
Yeah.
Which is very introverted.
Yeah.
I think this is my favorite thing about the love languages quiz is you should do it with your significant other in the same room, go through it and stuff, but talk through the questions. because it just brings out so many like situations that you haven't thought through. Mm-hmm. And you could be doing it completely wrong for your significant other. And you're like, wow, I didn't know sitting next to you, Andrew, gave you anxiety. And I will try not to be near you as much.
Just because the quiz is a little cheesy doesn't mean that it's not really good. So
yeah,
just like Sean said, pull the value out of it that's there.
But okay, here's a hypothetical though. So I get recharged around you. You don't. So how, if situations like this arise for people, how do they fix it?
I think it's just like, hey, we're going to have together time, but I also need a little of alone time.
Makes sense.
You're getting into this. You reposition. You're like facing me.
And my hips started hurting.
Okay.
Well, my body language is telling you that I like you again.
Yeah.
Not for long. I'm kidding. It's more meaningful to me when my partner puts his or her arm around me in public or my partner surprises me with a gift.
PDA. Here's the thing. I am not big on like receiving material items, but what the gifts that mean a ton to me are like a handwritten note, even if it's like on a paper towel or lipstick on the mirror, whatever that is. I don't like PDA.
I love the little notes and stuff. I love that. But I love PDA.
That's so weird to me.
I think it's maybe an insecurity. I should probably go to therapy for it and figure out why. But there's something to me about your significant other wanting to publicly show their love for you that brings me security and confidence within our relationship. So like
while dating or just in marriage.
Yeah.
See,
now I'm not saying you should be out in public, you know, sucking tongues.
When you put it like that.
Yeah.
Nothing.
But
can we practice that real quick? Let's just go ahead and do it.
Yeah. Absolutely not. No.
Let me just try to see if it's even
possible. I don't like you that much yet. Gross. I'm not saying I encourage that, especially dating, but I think there's something beautiful about not being embarrassed or feel ashamed to show the love or the affinity you have for someone.
As long as you're married. I think
that's crazy.
If you're out in public and you make out with your girlfriend, whoever that may be at the time, maybe you have 10 different girlfriends and then it's like the value of it decreases.
You have 10 different girlfriends at the same time?
Huh?
You have 10 different girlfriends at the same
time?
No,
but over time.
It's not diminishing returns because I think some of the most beautiful love you can have in your life is the love that you, like, isn't your forever love. It's what teaches you what true love is. So if you're dating someone and you love them, I don't think it's okay for you not to be to feel like you can't be proud and show the world that you love them.
This is really interesting because I don't think I'm right here necessarily. It's like more of a preference. Like I'm not saying that PDA is disgusting generally, but it's like I hold your hand and want to kiss you in public, but it's because it's like you're my, like we're together forever. And I know that it's like more special to me because we're married. I don't know. That's just my preference.
I get it. I don't get it, but like I enjoy that you are trying to explain it.
Yeah.
I just think it's different.
I do. I think it's different too. We probably view it, I'm more conservative generally than you are. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
The third question we thought was good was, it's more meaningful to me when we kiss frequently or I sense my partner showing interest in things that I care about.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Babe, how would you say your social battery is right now?
Probably non-existent since having Bear, but it's slowly coming back and I'm almost ready to get back out there and host a game night, babe. It's been too long.
I'm ready for that too.
I would say after having a baby, we've been in survival mode and haven't had a lot of extra time for socializing, but we're getting there.
Yeah, I agree. But at the same time, we both know it's important to surround ourselves with community during hard times. So it's been a tough balance that we're trying to manage. We actually talked about this in therapy recently, and it's been really helpful to dig into.
We've been open about getting back into therapy after having our third baby, and it's been a great game changer for us. We recommend it to literally anyone, not just couples going through a hard season. It's a great place to learn how to set boundaries, communicate, and learn how to build a social life without draining your battery.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, BetterHelp is an amazing option.
It's all online, so you can do whatever fits best with your schedule, which is perfect for us, especially with three babies.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and they let you switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/EastFam today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/EastFam. Let's get back to it.
I kind of lean towards kiss more frequently.
Yeah. It means a ton to me when you're stubborn. We just had this conversation yesterday. You don't want to do things that you don't want to do. Or actually, you won't do things that you don't want to do. So when I'm like reading a book,
come on, bring it up.
No, it's fine.
Andrew's been, and I acknowledged this the other day. I am being unmeasurably stubborn with this, and I don't know why. But he's been wanting me to like just read books. And it started out cute. And now you're like, read your freaking book. And I'm like, I don't want to.
You know, you just dig your heels in even
deeper.
I do.
And it's a flaw. I would say kiss more frequently just because I think it's healthy to have independent interests. And I don't think your partner needs to be like, oh, teach me everything about gymnastics, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think acknowledging that person's interest and being like, babe, I know you love gymnastics and I know gymnastics is on tonight. You should watch it, you know?
Yep. I was just thinking, I just feel like I've watched a lot of gymnastics and...
You've asked.
Yeah. Well, you haven't asked to watch football.
I respect your passion. Hey, that's not
next
true.
Thing,
I
next
asked
thing,
you
next
to teach
thing,
me all the rules thing. About football.
No, and that meant a lot, so thank you.
It's meaningful to me when my partner doesn't check his or her phone while we're talking,
mm-hmm.
or my partner goes out of his or her way to do something to relieve pressure for me.
It means a ton to me when you don't check your phone. I think that active listening is like one of my favorite things and can make all the world difference.
Funny.
Because I don't do it much.
You don't do it much?
Yeah.
Because it's huge for me when I have your undivided attention, but it's very difficult to get.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry about that. Do you forgive me?
Me too. I'm sorry, yes.
It is interesting, back to the kissing one, it definitely changes the different phases you go through because like the first 6 weeks after we had Drew and the 6 weeks leading up, you know, it's just like a time where there's not a lot of physical touch and it's like I felt distant from you because of that. Mm-hmm. So then it was like, well, I would really appreciate a cuddle every once in a while, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, this was really good.
This was really good.
I appreciate you putting this episode together, babe. You did a fantastic job.
Thanks, babe.
And I feel like I learned about you.
So if you guys haven't done Love Language quiz yet, try it out. Talk to your significant other about it. This is not an ad, by the way. We just truly love this site. Let us know your thoughts. Comment down below if you think, you know, we're on the right track. If you like PDA. If there's certain things that your significant other could do differently, such as like the I'm sorry versus I love you. Are there certain things that like you need to hear? Yeah, let us know.
Now I have a little better way of loving you, babe. I am curious what you guys think of these generalization tests, these classification tests in general.
Let us know if you want us to do an Enneagram podcast.
Yeah. But if you haven't yet, make sure you give this show a rating and subscribe to it on whatever platform you're listening to. Make sure you check the links down below if you want to take the quiz yourself and learn more about any of the sponsors or fun things that we have going on. We link it all. And this week is really big. We're actually going to MIT. Sean's doing a panel discussion. We're doing a live podcast up there with a really exciting guest.
I cannot wait.
Yeah.
And then we're interviewing multiple people while we're at MIT.
Yeah.
All super, super exciting names. They're going to be fun interviews. I can't wait.
It'll be great. So anyway, that's all we got for you. This is the East Fam out.
All right, real quick for all of those listening out there, we don't ask for a lot of favors, I don't think, babe, do we?
No.
But we're going to ask you a favor today, all right? If you're listening to Couple Things Podcast on Apple Podcasts specifically, will you please do us this short, quick favor?
We want to make sure you're staying up to date with our show, and Apple's latest iOS update has paused downloads for many listeners, and some of you have expressed our latest episodes aren't being recommended to you on Apple Podcasts anymore.
So here's how to make sure you're getting your episode. And again, this is for Apple Podcasts specifically. Open up that podcast app on your iPhone.
Search Couple Things and tap our show's icon.
And then in the top right corner, you might see a plus follow symbol. If you do, tap it to resume following the show.
If you get a prompt to, quote, turn on automatic downloads, say yes. That way, you'll get all of the episodes. Thank you so much, guys. We're so glad this update was brought to our attention because we want to make sure we're reaching as many of you as we can.
Love y'all, and we really appreciate you doing this.